Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Alan Schultz, CEO, president, and chairman of Velasys Communications. The company trades on the New York Stock Exchange, and the ticker symbol is VCI. And Velasys is a media and marketing services company. They provide direct mailing and newspaper coupons. Thanks for joining us today, Alan.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to it.
Great. Now, let's start off by talking about the value drivers behind the company's Q2 results, which saw profits more than double. What were some of the value drivers?
Well, I think what's real key to our success is our focus on the consumer. And consumers are very interested these days in value, and our media portfolio is essentially made up of products and services that deliver value to the consumer. There's been a number of research studies done lately which indicate that there's been a permanent shift in consumer or shopper behavior towards value. It's the number one issue and concern and making their purchase decisions. And the media that we deliver basically delivers deals, coupons, value, special pricing, et cetera. So what we're seeing is we're seeing consumers look to our media much more so than they have in the past. The other thing I think that was real critical for us in terms of our success was our efforts from a cost-cutting perspective. We did a tremendous job in terms of reducing our cost of goods sold and reducing our SG&A expenses. And I think the combination of those two factors really led to our success in the most recent quarter.
Great. That's good to hear. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, your four segments as well as your main brand, Red Plum, and, you know, where we may find it?
Sure. Our largest segment is our direct mail business, and we have a shared mail product, and basically it includes a variety of different circulars, discounts, offers from both retail customers and consumer packaged goods customers. It includes local content as well as national content, and we'll reach about 70 million households on a weekly basis with that shared mail product. That product will generate, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.2, $1.3 billion for us on an annual basis. The next product we have is one that most people are very familiar with. It's called the freestanding insert business, and the freestanding insert business is in essence a four-color coupon booklet that gets distributed to about 60 million households on a weekly basis. It's primarily distributed through newspapers throughout the country, but it's also distributed through our shared mail distribution method. That product will generate in the neighborhood of $400 million on an annual basis. And then we have a segment called our neighborhood targeted segment, which is made up of newspaper preprints, which, interestingly enough, everyone knows newspaper circulations are declining, and they would assume that our newspaper preprint business would be down dramatically from what it has been historically. But actually, in this most recent quarter, our preprint business was up 42%. And I think a primary driver behind that is the fact that we don't just sell newspapers as a solution. We offer a blended media solution to our customers. So we'll blend newspaper distribution with shared mail distribution, with digital distribution, with direct-to-door distribution to really maximize and optimize the media plan for our customers. Also included in that neighborhood targeted segment is our polybag and sampling business, as well as we do place business directly on the pages of newspapers. So that segment tends to be also in the neighborhood of $400 million in revenue. And then we have an international digital and services section, and that business did very well for us. In fact, I think we saw profits probably just about triple in that segment. one of the key drivers behind that is we own the largest coupon processing and analytics company in the world. And in the first half of 2009, we saw coupon redemption volume increase by roughly 19%. And so what you're seeing is this migration that I talked about at the start of the call towards this value-oriented content, deals, discounts, coupons, et cetera. And that's showing through in terms of that redemption business.
Well, yeah, that's a key point. And so what were some of the reasons you would say that, you know, the company's profits, other reasons that the company's profits doubled, where, you know, a lot of other media companies really saw, you know, their revenues and profits decrease. And if you can talk a little bit about, you know, how many competitors, I guess, I don't know if it's how easy it is to gauge, but how many competitors that you have and, you know, what makes you unique from all the other players in your sector?
Yeah, I think really what makes us unique is the fact that we have so many different products and distribution methods available to us. We have probably 18 to different products and services in our portfolio, and our ability to blend them together in an integrated solution is really what sets us apart from our competition. We track about 25 other media companies every quarter, and in this most recent quarter, if you extract out some revenue that we had last year from discontinued operations, our revenue was down about 7% in the quarter. But if you look at these 25 other media companies that we track, from what I have seen so far in terms of their earnings announcements, their revenue is down anywhere from 13 to 30%. With substantial drops in their profitability. From what I can tell over the last two quarters, the only media companies that I'm tracking that are performing better than us, and I say companies, I think it's only one company. Right now, it looks like to us of these 25 media companies we track, we are number two in terms of revenue performance only to Google. Only Google is outperforming us from a revenue perspective. In terms of the profitability side of the business, the other thing that's important to note is that although we did experience that revenue decline that I mentioned in the quarter, the revenue decline occurred mostly in products and services that have lower overall margins for us. So as I mentioned before, we place business on the pages of newspapers. That tends to be a relatively low margin business for us. And a big percentage of that fall off in revenue came from that particular product line. So I think that kind of explains the revenue side of the business. But then, again, on the cost of goods sold side, we just did a phenomenal job of managing down costs. And clearly that helped drive our profitability.
Great. And can you talk about some of the emerging trends in the market and how well-positioned Velasys is to keep capitalizing on them?
Yeah, I think one of the key trends that's taking place is the move towards more digital-type distribution of value-oriented content. And, again, our digital area falls into our international and digital segment. That's an area that we continue to spend a fair amount of time on. We did launch our site, redplum.com, which distributes value-oriented content in January of 2008. I think already that site is up in the top 600 sites in the world from a consumer perspective, which I think that's not bad when you consider I think there's about 235 million sites out there available in a relatively short period of time. We jumped up into the top 600. And so I think we're making great progress. We also are taking that site and syndicating our content out over a very quickly growing network. And we're now reaching a substantial number of consumers with that content. So I think digital is a key area for us. And we break digital into a variety of different products and services. So Right now, it's primarily redplum.com in the network, but you'll see us do other things from a digital perspective, including mobile. We've actually done a number of mobile programs already, and we also think discounts to card will be an important element in the future, where a consumer will be able to go on a website and download discounts onto, for instance, their Kroger Plus card, frequent shopper loyalty card.
Okay, I guess it's kind of like, I guess, like green stamps, or you kind of collect them, like when you go shopping type.
No, this actually what this will be is a number of retailers have loyalty programs or loyalty cards.
Oh, right, like the rewards, right? Yeah.
Exactly, and in essence, what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to go to a website, look at what products you're interested in purchasing, be able to download discounts off those particular products, in essence, onto that loyalty card, and when you go to that store and buy those products, you'll automatically get those discounts. So, once again, I think it ties nicely into this change in consumer behavior towards value.
Certainly, and can you walk us through your background experience, Alan, as well as that of some of the key management team?
Yeah, our kind of key leadership team has actually been together for quite some time now. I've been at the company for 25 years, and my background is I've been through really all different parts of the company, kind of in finance. I've been in sales, marketing, operations, customer service, even spent 3 days in one of our manufacturing facilities, and I'm not the greatest printer in the world, but I tried while I was there because we are vertically integrated and do print a fair amount of our own product that we distribute. Most of our other management team, we do have some newer members of the team, particularly with technology expertise and digital expertise. Our chief information officer has been with us for about 3 years, and he comes from Ernst & Young and from the consulting side of the business from a technology perspective. And Brian Costello, also in our digital area. Brian Costello, yes, been with us for about 3 years. And he was one of the founders of Barbarian, one of the early digital interactive agencies. So we do have some newer folks on the team from that perspective. Our CFO has been at the company for 26, 27 years now. So it's a team that's been together for some time.
Great. And what specific milestones does the management team hope to accomplish over the course of the next year?
Yeah, over the next year, I think the most important thing that we're looking to accomplish is we feel as if we've got a exceptionally good cost structure in place right now. And if we can start to generate incremental revenue, start growing the top line again and get out of this media recession, we think that there's going to be a substantial percentage of that revenue growth will fall right through to the bottom line and really drive profitability in a significant way. So we feel like in the second quarter here, we've hit bottom in terms of percent revenue decline. We don't necessarily see at this point in time revenue growth in the near future. We think we're going to bounce along the bottom here for a little while. But one of our objectives here in the next 12 months is to really return top-line revenue growth, which should have a substantial impact on profitability. And then also over the next year, we're looking to continue to up our investment in our digital platforms.
Great. And shifting gears, in terms of the company's growth, will you look to for this? I guess for the upcoming year to 2 years, will you continue to grow organically? Would you consider some M&A activities, or will it be a combination of both?
I think at this point in time, it would be a combination of both, but M&A activities would probably be limited at this point more to capability acquisition than it would be specific product acquisition, because the products that we're really looking to grow in, there isn't necessarily players out there today that we'd be interested in acquiring. So I think the focus will be much more so on organic development versus acquisition.
Okay, and two more questions. First off, in terms of investors, Alan, do you think that right now investors understand the general direction of the company?
Yeah, I think they do. You know, we've had a strategy for a long, long time that we really haven't changed now in 11 years, and it comes down to diversifying the product portfolio and expanding the customer base. And it was really just 11 years ago, you know, we were for the most part a one-product company. In fact, as late as 2001, 93% of our revenue came from, not our revenue, 93% of our profits came from one product, that freestanding insert product that I talked about earlier. Today, a very small percentage of our profit comes from that freestanding insert product, and the bulk of our revenue comes and profitability comes from products that have been added to the portfolio you know, really over probably the last 8 years, but that was all part of that original strategy to diversify the product portfolio and expand the customer base. So I think investors know we're going to continue down that path, and our goal is to integrate these different products and services together into a single optimized solution for our customers, and we plan on continuing down that path.
Good. And once again, this is Juan Costello with Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Alan Schultz, CEO, President, and Chairman of Velasys. The company trades on the New York Stock Exchange. Ticker symbol is VCI and is currently trading at $11.88 a share. And before we conclude, Alan, what are some of the key reasons? I know you touched on this a lot during the interview. Just to kind of sum it up, why investors should consider Velasys as a good long-term investment opportunity.
You know, I think one of the important things for investors to look at today is in the media business, marketing dollars follow eyeballs. And as we see this shift in consumer behavior towards value-oriented media, what is happening in essence is shoppers or consumers are spending more time looking at value-oriented media. As a result of that, you would expect those marketing dollars to follow that. The other thing that I mentioned earlier is the cost structure that we have in place today. When you combine the cost structure with the fact that a number of products in our portfolio have significant operating leverage associated with them, when we return to revenue growth, you'll see a very large percentage of that revenue growth flow through to the bottom line. In fact, if you look at our shared mail segment, you'll probably see 60 or 70% of incremental revenue will flow through to the bottom line in that particular segment because it has substantial operating leverage.
Well, great, and we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's progress as well as report on your growth. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today.
Thank you, Juan. Appreciate it.